Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, text number 4. Oh, we're going very slow. This battle is going to take a long time. Observing the armies. Atra Sora Maheshvasa Vimarjana Samayudi Yuyudano Viratascha Lupras Chamaharata. Atra, here. Swara, heroes. Mahaishu Asa. Mighty Bowman. Bhimarjuna. To Bhima and Arjuna. Sama, equal, Yudhi, in the fight, Yudana, Yuyudana, Virata, Virata, Cha, also, Drupada, Drupada, Cha, also, Maharata, great fighter. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Here in this army there are many heroic bowmen, equal in fighting to Bhima and Arjuna, great fighters like Yudana, Virata, and Drupada. Purport. Even though Dhritadumya was not a very important obstacle in the face of Dronacharya's great power in the military art, there were many other warriors who were causes of fear. They are mentioned by Duryodhana as great stumbling blocks in the path of victory, because each and every one of them was as formal as Bhima and Arjuna. He knew the strength of Bhima and Arjuna, and thus he compared the others with them. Text 5. Dristaketus chekitana kasirajas tavirivan puruja kontivojascha shaivascha naravangavaha. There are also great heroic, powerful fighters like Dristaketu, chekitana, kasiraja, purujit, kuntivoja, and shaivya. There are the mighty Yudumanu and the great, very powerful Uttamoja, the son of Subhadra and the sons of Draupadi. All these warriors are great chariot fighters. But for your information, O best of the Brahmins, let me tell you about the captains who are specially qualified to lead my military force. Bhavan Bhimascha Karnascha Kripascha Samatinjaya Ashvatthama Vikarnascha Samadati Sthitayavacha. There are personalities like you, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashvatthama, Vikarna, and the son of Samadatta called Burishrava, who are always victorious in battle. Purport. Duryodhana mentions the exceptional heroes in the battle, all of whom were ever victorious. Vikarna is the brother of Duryodhana. Ashvatthama is the son of Dronacharya. And Samadatis, or Burishrava, is the son of the king of Bahlilikas. Karna is the half-brother of Arjuna, as he was born of Kunti before her marriage with King Pandu. Kripacharya's twin sister married Dronacharya. If you want to find out more about these personalities, then Srimad Bhagavatam tells about them. And also, this is right before the battle, and the battle is quite a long battle in terms of the Yudha Parva, many thousands of pages. So if you want to read about a battle, it's in there in the Mahabharata. Have you read the Mahabharata? Which edition?
By Punar Prajanya.
said a very big one. Yeah. Bigulis. Have you seen Bigulis? Biguli. It's like 25 volumes. It's a rather big one. Have you read the Mahabharata?
You won't believe I just started.
Okay, we'll see who finishes first. The Bhagavad Gita. Have you read the Mahabharata?
No, I think near 12 years before I watched.
Oh, that's serious.
Yes.
Have you read the Mahabharata? Have you read the Mahabharata?
I think I read it twice.
Which one?
Anatom Sankaration Prestation.
In Russian translation, I don't quite also put after these commentaries or something else. Say Baba or something else.
Have you read the Mahabharata? No. It's quite a... Luckily we have the Bhagavad Gita. It saves you a lot of time. So here, and then one interesting thing is that these great warriors, Karna, the son of the sun god, Kripacharya, son of, well, Kripacharya is also a Brahmin, great martial Brahmin. Ashwatthama was the son of who? Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, the elephant. And Vikarna, Duryodhana had 100 brothers, 99 brothers. Do you know how he was born? Yeah. Kunti and Gandhari got pregnant at the same time. But they were having a fight, they were having a race who would actually deliver first. So Kunti delivered first. I guess she was. And then Gandhari got very disturbed. I think she hit her abdomen and a piece of flesh came out. And then Vyasadeva came and divided into 100 pieces. And cultivated them, they all grew into people, and they all grow into babies, and they became the 100 sons of Gandhari, headed by Duryodhana. And Vikarna was one of them. He was the brother of Duryodhana. So why is he mentioned here? Vikarna. He's not on the same level as these warriors, but he was the one who defected to the Pandavas. So Duryodhana didn't want his brother to defect to join the side of the Pandavas, so he mentions here as one of the important warriors. That actually wasn't as important as the other ones were. Obviously all the warriors here were quite powerful, but some of them were more powerful than the others. We read this. All of them were great. There are many other heroes who are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake. All of them were well equipped with different kinds of weapons, and all experienced military science. Purport. As far as the others are concerned, like Jayadratha, Kritavarma, and Shalya, all are determined to lay down their lives for Duryodhana's sake. In other words, it is already concluded that all of them would die in the battle of Kurukshetra, rejoining the party of the sinful Duryodhana. Duryodhana was, of course, confident of his victory on account of the above-mentioned combined strength of his friends. So at this time in the battlefield, many of these warriors had mystic powers. They had celestial weapons. Like you could shoot one arrow and it would turn into 10 arrows. And then the 10 arrows would turn into 100 arrows. Each arrow would turn into 10 arrows. And each of those 10 arrows would turn into 10 arrows. And that way they'd wind up with thousands of arrows from that one arrow you shot. It's pretty dangerous. Some of them had the power to create wind tornadoes by their astras, and others could create mountains to stop the tornado. When Gaudakach, he was destroying thousands and thousands of the warriors of Duryodhana. So finally, when, do you know who Gaudakach was?
Gaudakach.
Ajahn?
I don't know if you're talking
about him, I guess. Gadochkar,
the one who was very big.
Yeah.
He was appointed by, I think, Pandavas.
Son of Arjuna.
What's that?
Was he son of Arjuna?
Gaudakach?
Gadochkar. Huh, son of Arjuna?
Yes. No, he's the son of Bhima. He was born of Rakshashi.
I think you're talking about Gadochkar. Is it like this in Hindi, Gadochkar?
No, this is Gaudakach. Whatever. He was the son of Bhima, who was he's a Rakshasa, very powerful though. And Dimbi was the name of his mother.
He had to die because he was making travels to Varanasi.
What was that?
He had to die in battle on battlefield because he was like making problems for Varanasi with Yagas or something.
No. He was destroying the army of Duryodhana. So there was one. They had one. He was given one astra. Karna was given an astra that could defeat anyone. So he was going to use it against Arjuna. So Krishna arranged it that Gaudakach, whatever you want to call him. are we talking about the same person?
Yeah.
Gaudakach. Gaudakach. Anyhow. I think it's Gaudakach. He was, he was fighting so furiously, and it was getting night, so he was going to even increase his power. So then, Duryodhana told him, Karna, to use his astra against and kill Gaudakach. So Gaudakach, he threw the astra, invincible astra, Gaudakach, in order to save Arjuna's life. And Gaudakach was killed, but he expanded himself so big. And when he fell down, he crushed tens and thousands of warriors with his body. Dangerous. And we think we're, some of our devotees think they're kshatriyas. So there's the battle is quite exciting. And there's so many warriors who have even that. The son of Bhaumasura, he also fought in the war. So many, all these great warriors, they fought in that battle. So the Mahabharata is actually quite an interesting book. Not, it's interesting. Do you have a big volume of it, or is it a small one? How many?
It's around 800.
The one I had, well, I have it on PDF file. It's around 30,000 pages or something.
This one is, I think it's Glacier translation.
Yeah. Well, there are so many editions of it. And the Heavenly Planets, the Mahabharata is like millions of verses. But mostly the Mahabharata deals with karma. Karma Kanda, a little bit of Jnana Kanda, something about karma, because it's meant for Sri Sudra Sambhava, for the women and Sudras and lower class. But the essence of the Mahabharata is the Bhagavad Gita. That's really why the whole Mahabharata is presented, in order to give us the opportunity to hear the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, Bhagavad Gita is quite philosophical. And most people are not really philosophical so much. They like to hear about romance and fighting and things like that. But in the middle of that is the Bhagavad Gita, so that people can understand how to live life in order to become liberated from the material concept of life. Aparyatam tadasvakam balam bijma virakshitam paryaptam tvedam etesham balam bijma virakshitam. Did she get any rest on the way here? She doesn't speak English? But she speaks Russian? Yeah, magu dat eta lexia paruski eta harisho. Mojit panimayatya panimayash paruski. Utstala. Our strength is immeasurable and we are perfectly protected by Grandfather Bhishma, whereas the strength of the Pandava is carefully protected by Bhima is limited. Does she speak German now? Sprechen die Deutsch? Guten Tag. Was kommen Sie hier? What's that? Wherein an estimation comparative strength is made by Duryodhana. He thinks that the strength of the armed forces is immeasurable, being specifically protected by the most experienced general, Grandfather Bhishma. On the other hand, the forces of the Pandavas are limited, being protected by the less experienced general Bhima, who's like a fig in the presence of Bhishma. Duryodhana was always envious of Bhishma, because he knew perfectly well that if he should die at all, he would be only killed by Bhima. But at the same time, he was confident of his victory on the account of the presence of Bhishma, who was a far superior general. His conclusion that he would come out of the battle victorious was well ascertained. How many soldiers were on the side of the Pandavas and how many were on the side of Duryodhana?
Krishna gave his army to the Kaurava side, and Krishna himself came for Pandava side.
But how many Akshahinis did they have? The Duryodhana had 11 Akshahinis, and the Pandavas had 7. Probably one place he said it was around 52 million people on the battlefield. And then another lecture, when he explained what an Akshahini is, he said it was 5,200,000. And so I said, well, you said Prabhupada, but it was 52. I think 520 million people. Prabhupada said, just give or take a zero here and there. It doesn't matter. Anyhow, there are a lot of people on this battlefield. And it was all arranged by Krishna. So if you have 11 Akshahinis, it's, you know, literally millions of soldiers you expect you're going to win. Of course, when that Yavana, Kalyavana, attacked Mathura, he came with 32 million Yavana soldiers. And Krishna Balaram killed them all. So, anyhow, fighting has been going on in this world since time immemorial. And the fight is generally between the devotees and the demons. But in Kali Yuga, it's between the demons and the demons, so the fighting is pretty useless. But previously, when fighting was on religious principles, then whoever would win would rule the world and help people elevate their consciousness to Krishna consciousness. That's why Krishna arranged the battle, because Suryodhana was a demon, and he was ruling the world, and Krishna didn't like that. So though he was a demon, still he followed the Vedic principles. So more or less, the people were materially satisfied, but they weren't spiritually advancing. So now Krishna is going to arrange the battlefield. And on the battlefield is Bhishma. and who's Bhishma Dev? What's so unique about Bhishma as a warrior? Why is Bhishma so fearful as a warrior?
He was very much trained into military.
Yes. What benediction did he get from his father? Who is his father? King Shantanu. And who did King Shantanu marry? Yeah, his first wife was Ganga Devi. And Ganga Devi, why did she come to the earth? Well, it's not the Marus. There were certain residents of the heavenly planets that were cursed. They had to take birth on the earthly planet. So Ganga Devi took birth so that as soon as they took birth here, she would throw them into the Ganges and drown them. So they'd have to spend very much time here on the planet. So King Shantanu became attracted to her, and he married her, and she said, I'll marry you, but when we have children, you're not going to complain whatever I do with them. So King Shantanu agreed, but then after the first birth, Ganga Devi took the child, the newborn baby, and threw it into the Ganges. So the king was getting a little upset. So there were seven of them that she threw into the Ganges. And finally the eighth was Bhishma. And she was just about to throw him into the Ganges. She said, stop, you cruel woman, what are you doing? You know, this is too much. You're throwing your children all the time into the Ganges and drowning them. So she said, all right, here you go. Here's the child, and I'm leaving. So she left. So that was Bhishma. So later on, King Shantanu met one fisher lady when he was going on the Ganges. What was her name? Satyavati. Beautiful woman. But she was smelly because she was a fisher lady. And her father was the king of the fishermen. In any case, King Shantanu became attracted to her and he wanted to marry her. But the fisherman said, no, I won't let you marry my daughter because my daughter, her son will not be the king because you already have a son who will be the king. So the king was very disappointed, and Bhishma heard about it, found out that his father wanted to marry this lady, but her father wouldn't allow it because he wouldn't become his son, her son wouldn't become the king. So he told the father that he would renounce the kingdom. He said, no, but then your son will take it. He said, well, I promise that I won't marry, so I won't have any sons. So then the fisherman's father, the ladies, agreed to the marriage. And when King Shantanu heard that his son had made a vow that he'd never marry, for Kshatriya that was quite a significant vow, he gave his son the benediction that unless you desire it, you won't die. So Bhishma was, because of the strength of his father's benediction, he wouldn't be killed on the battlefield unless he wanted to be. So he was practically invincible. So of course Krishna figured out how to kill him. And that's part of the Mahabharata, but we won't spoil it in case you read it again.
Was that also the reason when Vishnu Tama was on the bed of arrows? And I think There is also conversation of Bhishma Pitamah giving instructions or speaking about many more levels. And I think I was just reading a few days ago, and it was like he was on death for many days. So this was also a part of this benediction, that he could leave his body only when he wants.
So he waited till the sun started to go to the north. Now the battlefield, this is around the time of the Battle of Kurukshetra. This is the time of the Battle of Kurukshetra, because we already went through the speaking of the Bhagavad Gita. I think it was, when was that? Last, a few days ago. So the battle's still going on. So Bhishma had to wait till the sun goes to the north. And right now, where is the sun? He had to wait some months lying on a battle of arrows. Rather inconvenient. If we had to rely on a bed of pins, we'd be suffering. What to speak of your whole body shot full of arrows? It's rather... Yes, he definitely had his prana was flowing quite well. Yeah. Anyhow, we'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Interesting, the Prabhupada never gave a lecture on any of these verses. Although in Virjan's, I forget the name of his book, there's a lot of significance to these opening verses, to show how intelligent and diplomatic Duryodhana is. And he mentions his brother Vikarna and his relationship, how he tries to encourage Duryodhana, etc., etc. So it's quite an interesting first chapter. Yes?
There is so much this fighting of a lot of people and the culture and weapons and everything. Do we have any... explanation why nothing is found about, from these times. God, archaeologists, they find some stuff 20 million years or 40,000 years old.
They just scratch the surface. They just find a few things. They find a little bone like this and make a dinosaur that, the size of the room from it. They don't really find all that many things. And they filter out what they find. If you read Drudha Karma's book,
Forbidden Archaeology.
What's that?
Forbidden Archaeology.
Yeah, they found pottery which was 2 billion years old, but you don't hear about it. That's all.
Yeah, but this was 5,000 years.
Yeah, even 5,000 years. So, but what are you going to find? I mean, they have the city of Dwarka. They have the ruins of Dwarka they found. But as far as, first of all, they burned the bodies. They didn't have these burial places filling up. Imagine you kill 32 million warriors, where are you going to bury them all?
But also Dwarka, there was thousands of palaces.
Yeah, they found some remnants of Dwarka off the coast. But it's 5,000 years ago. Things deteriorate, especially if they're underwater. Any body that's underwater, just like when if you go down to the Titanic, you can't find anyone there, because bodies deteriorate underwater. They just dissolve. So, why you don't uncover, I don't know. I have no idea. But I don't think they only uncovered a fraction of what actually exists. Because how many people are really just digging into the earth to find things like that?
They're still finding things uncovered.
Yeah, they're still finding them. And whatever they find, they filter. Just like the pyramids, maybe tens and thousands of years old. But they just concocted that maybe it's only a few thousand years old. But other geologists, when they examined the face of the pyramids, they could see that, you know, it must be tens of thousands of years old, and that it has a completely different purpose than just burying pharaohs. It generated electricity, it was a weapon, etc. So many different things.
I just heard a few days ago that pharaohs were not buried in pyramids, but somewhere near the pyramid, that they didn't find any bodies in the pyramids. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know. Anyhow, we have a knowledge filter. Whatever we're taught is always from the perspective of people who want us to think a certain way. So therefore, whatever the speculation is, we accept the Vedic literature as the primary evidence. But then ultimately, the Vedic literature doesn't really stress so much history as it's stressed in the West, because the same thing just happens again and again. There's not much to... The only thing you learn from history is that people don't learn from history.
And if we visit World Museum in different countries, Berlin, Athens, Egypt, they make history only from 2,500 years before. So more long time, no.
No, they don't want us to think this a long time. Because after all, we all came from the apes. That we're the only people who are so-called civilized. All right. Lako noch. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita ki jai.